today on the TMZ Podcast.
Welcome to the TMZ Podcast. Derek and Eric here. How you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. We're going to start off today with my favorite guy.
I love
you
this.
I got warm feelings.
You are such a hater.
Yeah.
Talking about Pete Davidson, and you're a hater. You are so jealous of him.
Well, tell me about his new girlfriend and how well his life is going.
His life is so great. So obviously broken up with Kim Kardashian, and we were all like, who's he going to date next? Because his track record before Kim was Kate Beckinsale, Ariana Grande. He's dated
Cassie David. Yeah. What a roster.
Yeah.
What a roster.
So it's like, where does he go from Kim Kardashian? He is dating Emily Ratajkowski,
who was initially burst on the scene in the Blurred Lines video, but has become like famous in her own right.
Sure.
I mean, she's now like sort of sustained that level of fame that she got that no other sort of dancer in a music video.
No,
I think,
because
has gotten.
She's very beautiful,
very beautiful,
and famously very beautiful. Now she's divorced. She has just recently ended a marriage. Pete is the rebound guy.
It's unbelievable.
He's who you go to when you're coming off of a heartbreak.
And he's got a little bit of a mommy fetish going on now. His last couple, I looked at his roster, and was like all the, you know, Ariana Grande and Cassie David, all these like young starlets. Cassie David was the coolest one in my mind. That's Larry David's daughter. That was the start of the Pete David phenomenon, and now it's just sort of off the rails. But then it's been, you know, Kate Beckinsale, Kim Kardashian, and now Emily Ratajkowski, and you know, they're all moms, and that I think that's part of Pete's game.
It's a pattern at this point. It's like still pretty young, recently out of a relationship, moms, and he's the guy to make them feel good about themselves.
The thing that's starting to bother me about him, for a while.
He's just living his life.
He is just living his life, but it seems like a series of conquests, and I don't know how you get away from feeling that way when you see that he's dated this woman after this woman and charmed them, and all of them in the press say, you know what, it's just his vibe. There's something so cool about Pete. He's a really down-to-earth guy. At some point, you're not down-to-earth. He was looking for his next target after Kim Kardashian. Stop calling him down-to-earth and cool.
Definitely he has a certain kind of woman he dates.
Yes.
But you think
attractive
it's just like,
and famous woman every time.
Yeah. But so you think that he's always this like malicious guy, like swooping in, getting these heartbroken women. He's a relationship guy. When he was with Ariana, they got engaged and he clearly wanted to marry her. That was him. When he was with
Kim. That was at least what the press report said.
Oh, you are such a hater. And then, you know, when he was with Kim, he got her kid's initials tattooed on his neck. And, like, he seems like he genuinely falls so in love with these relationships. Like, we can all see, like, this is probably not going to last forever.
Let me ask you a question. When you now that we have, like, sort of, let's take the eagle's eye view, like, the view of the landscape and everyone he's dated and how they've all ended, don't you smell a whiff of, like, this guy's a player? You know, like, that's the whiff I get. Now, I'll tell you why he bothers me, because I have to locate this.
Because you're a hater.
I am at core contrarian and maybe a little bit of a hater, and there certainly is at some a pilot light of jealousy that is burning in my soul
about
Pete Davidson.
You're very jealous of him for lots of things.
Maybe so. And he doesn't look impressive in any way. He's sort of gawky and hunched-shouldered, and he's got this BDE, which, I don't know, that really strikes me as well. we'll get into that later, or never.
Well, it's because you have SDE.
Here's what bothers me. You know what he's the modern sort of Jack Nicholson, man about town. But Jack Nicholson never bothered me. I wasn't a hater towards Jack Nicholson because he was like a rakish sort of
rogue
who was out there like sort of like slaying women, and that was who his persona was. That's not this guy's persona. This guy is like luring women into a trap almost.
Oh my God,
that's what it feels like
insane
to me.
No, the more modern equivalent of Jack Nicholson is Leonardo DiCaprio.
Yes,
and
he
that's
doesn't
fine
bother me
because you know when Leo dates women, it's not going to last a real long time.
Yes,
but he knows that. They know that. And it's just fun for a while.
So do you see the difference and why Leo doesn't bother me, even though Leo's very attractive?
Because Leo knows that's what he's going to do.
Yes.
And the women know that's what he's going to do.
Mm-hmm.
Pete, I think he seems like he genuinely, like, he's just a romantic who falls in love. I don't think Leo falls in love.
I see. He's just wears his heart on his sleeve, falls head over heels, and then, you know.
If it doesn't last, it doesn't, but he's completely committed when he's in it.
Got it.
Leo, you know it's going to be short-term.
So you think, Leo, everyone's on the same page that it'll be short-term.
I think so.
Pete, everyone's on the same page in the moment of, like, the love and head over heels. And then when it breaks up, he's left the field is littered with his past relationships now. And you think they're all, I will say this for Pete Davidson, they all seem to have warm feelings for him afterwards,
do,
with the exception of Ariana Grande. I don't think she has feelings.
She did Thank You Next. She's like, for Pete, I'm so thankful. Or no, that was Mac Miller. But she said nice things about Pete in that song.
She did. I won't say there's a lot of people who seem to come out and say, like, he was horrific. It does sort of just fizzle
and
they move on.
I feel bad for him because I think he does fall in love. And he meets these rebound women, and they're like trying to get over these very stormy relationships because they're all very. It's not just like relationships ended a lot of the time. Like it's something dramatic has happened with their exes, his girlfriends, and so he's the guy that makes them feel better about themselves, and like he's that puppy that's there to love you, and then he gets his heart broken, and then you know, I feel bad for him.
Wow. So you think looking at the landscape that he's the one who we should be extending sympathy towards,
yeah,
rather than they
he's
run
just
its
looking
course.
For love.
He got tired of Kim Kardashian. How dare you? How dare you get tired of Kim Kardashian? When I see someone break up with Kim Kardashian, where it's not her dumping him, and maybe
we don't know he broke up with
her. Seemed
to
be like that she might have ended things with him because they were all over the map. Oh, man, there's something about him. He's still only 29 years old, so I just see this now for the next at least 5, 6, 7 years until his mid-30s, just running the town like this, and it bothers
no,
me.
No, I think he's just looking for love, and I hope he finds it.
The king of Staten Island. Well, we'll have to see. All right, let's go to something quite serious. This is Blueface. Blueface is a rapper of some renown.
He did the song Tatiana. It was a big hit. Bust Down Tatiana. It was a huge hit.
But he's also a character who is on TMZ a lot for outbursts with his girlfriend, Krishan. They have a very volatile relationship. I think even they would acknowledge and have acknowledged a lot. Lots of sort of violence back and forth, although they stay together. Sort of a modern-day Bonnie and Clyde in a way or
very
something.
Weird.
It's a very strange relationship.
They beat each other in the street one time.
Yeah, videos of them just going off on each other. Remarkable and strange. But this is a very serious thing. He got arrested in an undercover operation. There's video of him just sort of sitting out with Krishan on a not a park bench, but a bench outside of a strip mall, it looks like, looking through his phone. And then a bunch of plainclothes police officers descend upon him, throw him on the ground. He's under arrest. We looked into it. There was a warrant for his arrest for attempted murder.
Very
serious charge.
Yeah.
And discharging a firearm into a dwelling or a vehicle. So that's what we knew at that time. Then there's now a video. The incident apparently happened on October 8th, and it was in Las Vegas. There was some sort of altercation at a club, I believe.
Yeah, you're in Vegas, and it was his crew, and I think he was not present for this.
Not directly involved with the
altercation. A guy came in, and the crew was allegedly very like intoxicated and kind of rowdy and got into a fight and beat this guy.
Yes.
And then,
and rather than ending there, the man went to his truck. These are what we've learned from sources. Got into his truck and sort of came back for more, maybe saying there's a report that he said
he
who
pulled
shot
up and
me?
Said who hit me?
Who hit
he said,
me?
Who
say,
hit
sorry, who
no,
hit
yeah, he
me?
Wasn't shot at. But he was beaten.
Correct. Sorry. Who hit me in the club, meaning that he wanted to come back for more and identify who hit him and maybe get some retribution. There in a video you see what looks like Blueface with a gun pointed at the truck and apparently fired a shot into the truck.
See there is surveillance video. It's kind of that grainy black and white surveillance video. But we see Blueface close in the camera, walks out across the street. You do see a little light from
little
the gun
muzzle
fire.
Flash.
Yeah, you see that at the truck, and then the truck peels out. So now he's been arrested for attempted murder.
Yeah, it's not easy to get a warrant. You need to have probable cause. We think this is it, although the cops are saying this is an open investigation. It's a very serious one. Obviously, they sent plainclothes officers to apprehend him, meaning that it's difficult to when you worry that a suspect might flee or you're conducting an investigation that needs some sort of discretion, you do plainclothes officers. He's apparently in custody. This is very, very serious. If this is it and this is what cops are looking into, it's at the very least sort of reckless to fire the gun. Whether he's aiming it at the person, I'm not sure the attempted murder charge sticks if he's just sort of shooting at the body of the truck. But nevertheless, very, very serious charges.
You're a lawyer. I think if I were representing Blueface, yeah, maybe the reckless endangerment or firing a gun, you can get him for that, which is a misdemeanor, I'm assuming.
No, it's a felony, but it's a lesser felony than attempted murder.
It's not attempted murder. Couldn't the defense very well be that he was afraid for his life?
Absolutely.
I mean, especially
we don't know what that guy in that truck maybe was brandishing a gun.
Even if he wasn't, it's not unreasonable to think that Blueface could have thought that he was.
Like, that's right.
He's a rapper, and we've just seen Takeoff has been murdered. XXXTentacion was murdered a couple of years ago. Like, this is something we've seen, with Nipsey Hussle.
Yes.
If a guy rolls up on him in a truck who's just had an altercation with his crew.
Yeah, I bet he was pretty fired up.
Very genuinely be afraid for your life.
Yeah, and look, even if he wasn't in the truck wielding his own weapon, he's in a weapon. Remember that. He's in a truck, and Blueface, if that's Blueface in the video, which
we know
like
it
is
him.
Yeah, him in the video. you know, you're in danger by a man being in a truck, potentially run you over. There's a whole host of reasons where you might be in fear for your life. That's certainly the type of defense that if I were Blueface's attorney, I would level to sort of at least reduce the charges and maybe eliminate them. Because if you're in the mode of self-defense, all those charges might fall. You know, like maybe you get he had illegal possession of the weapon. But even discharging it into the vehicle, that might fall as well if he's in fear for his life and he thinks the guy might run him over. So we'll have to see how this case develops. It's still very, very early stages. I mean, he was just apprehended. There have to be arraignments. There have to be presentations of evidence in court. So we'll have to see where this goes. But nevertheless, you know, it's becoming a bit of a pattern that he's in these sort of violent situations and he's got to sort of rein it in. I mean, he's a very talented guy. Tatiana was a huge song.
It seems like he lives that life, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, you see that when that truck comes up, it didn't just drive by him; it kind of turned in toward him.
Yes,
we've seen so many of those videos. I was a little nervous just seeing it. So I don't know. We'll see what happens with this. We don't know all the details yet.
But, the sad point I want to make at the end is that like Blueface is involved in a lot of these. He's on our website for the wrong reasons a lot. He's not on there for music. Put it that way. Recently, and it just seems like an accumulation of events that he seems to be living in a dangerous way. And I worry about these things ending in some sort of tragedy, whether it's him, you know, killing someone or hurting someone or being killed or hurt himself. So I hope this develops. I hope this is sort of a wake-up call, if nothing else, for Blueface to sort of get on the straight and narrow. Here we go with Candace Cameron.
Speaking
Bure.
Of straight and narrow.
Yes. walk us through what's going on with Candace Cameron and who she is. Contextualize her a little bit.
Candace Cameron Bure, of course, you know from Full House. She's in all the Christmas movies. She runs Great American Family now, which is the channel that does all these sort of family holiday films a lot.
She's also deeply Christian. Her family, Kirk Cameron, her brother, was
very
on
religious.
Growing Pains. Very, very religious family.
And so she has said that with Great American Family, they're going to focus on doing traditional family holiday films.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, like, no gay couples.
Yeah, look, she's pivoting from Hallmark, right? She used to be on all the Hallmark movies, and apparently Hallmark was too dabbling in too many, unconventional families. I don't know what you want to call them. I think gay families is
what,
a little too liberal for her. So she wants to go towards a more traditional family.
So she is now she got a lot of backlash for this. And she's sort of kind of walking it back, but not really. So much to me, it just seems like, you know, you've heard people say, love the sinner, hate the sin in regards to gay people. This just feels like what this is to me. She said, I am a devoted Christian, which means that I believe that every human being bears the image of God. Because of that, I am called to love all people. So basically saying, you know, we employ at Great American Family all kinds of beliefs and lifestyles and ethnicities in front of and behind the camera.
Yes.
But basically she wants to make traditional, you know, one man, one woman, Christian marriage feel good holiday movies.
Yeah, and initially I received this story differently than I feel now. So I'll admit, my initial reaction was, okay, she wants to join a network that presents only, you know, sort of straight male, female, nuclear families. I'm okay, as long as others aren't excluded from presenting their stories on whatever networks are available. Initially, I was like, this is fine. It's her belief system, and she wants to present it to the world. So it didn't bother me. But when I had the discussion with Harvey, I started to feel differently, because if she had come out and said, I want to make an all-white network, you know, BET is controlling the landscape too much, and I want to make an all-white network, it would undoubtedly feel icky. It would just feel icky. And Harvey was saying, well, this is the same thing. And it's hard to argue that it's not.
No,
it is a very, very similar construct to say, like, I want to do traditional family values. The implicit message is that you think those other values from gay families are wrong. And it feels gross.
As a very Christian person, that is what she believes.
Yes.
And in her mind, she can be like, you know, I don't have any hatred or harbor any ill will towards gay people. And she probably doesn't. I don't think she specifically like hates gay people.
Right. And she's saying, I just don't want to be a part of
But she believes it's wrong.
Yes.
Because that's what the Bible has taught her. It is, and to Harvey's point, I get that because I agree with him. I do too. Ridiculous to me. But it's her religious belief.
Yeah, and by the way, there's nothing, I want to take this conversation away from, there's nothing illegal about her starting a network that promotes traditional family values. She's entitled to her beliefs. This is really just a feeling of, is this right? That's kind of the conversation I want to center on, because there's no doubt that she's allowed to make this network and allowed to make whatever movie she wants. She doesn't have to star in any logo programming. I'm not making that argument.
And there's certainly no Jewish things, because it's Christmas movies.
Yeah.
So, but, yeah, it's weird because she's not saying, you know, oh, gay people are gross. I don't want them in my movies.
Right.
I don't think there's the bigotry, like the hatred in that sense, but it is exclusionary, and she's like, you know, I'm not going to tell those stories.
Right.
But is she obligated to?
She's certainly not obligated,
and because
obligated
it is,
to. But
again, we have, you know, religious freedom in this country. It is for a lot of fundamental Christians, like traditional Christians, that's their belief, is that it's an abomination.
Yes.
It is hurtful to gay people, so it is bigoted and exclusionary, but it's what her religious belief is. And so then we get into telling people their religion is wrong.
And I don't want to do that.
That's a real slippery slope.
It's a
right
real
there.
Slippery slope. And for some reason, if she would just sit out as an actress and say, you know what, I'm not going to star in this vehicle because I'm uncomfortable and it conflicts with my values. But she wants to do something different. She wants to promote traditional values. And that tells me that she believes there's some sort of moral decay going on in the world that she wants to fight against. Right. But I feel that's different than saying, I'm not going to be a part of normalizing of gay families. I won't be a part of that. And it's fine that it's going on and I'm supportive is different than saying, I'm going to fight against it. And by starting this network, it feels as though she's fighting against that trend, which that's what feels wrong to me. She's not saying, I have a private belief and the world is what it is, but my private beliefs are inconsistent with it. She's saying, I'm going to fight it. And I don't want America and the world to move in this direction. And that's why, because I've thought about it a lot. I was like, in some sense, it seems okay. I don't think it's okay anymore.
No.
It feels wrong to me.
But it is, I guess, you know, the nice thing is, you know, she can do this. There's nothing legally to stop her from doing this, I don't guess. But there are a lot of, you know, in 2022, there are a lot of avenues for telling other stories.
Yeah.
And it is nice that we don't have to rely on Candace Cameron's Bure's opinion to shape the world.
I agree. And I'll finish with this. I think she's fighting the tidal wave of progress. Do you know what I mean? She has this small network, but the world is going to move on with or without Candace Cameron Bure. I don't think she's going to be able to shift the tide in her direction, which gives me some peace about this. But nevertheless, I don't like people who swim against currents of progress.
Yeah, but then you have your Hallmark movies and Lifetime and Logo, and all those can do all these other, you know, non-traditional quote-unquote family stories. So let her be her little Christian oasis in there for people who want to believe that.
Yeah. All right. We'll leave it at that. Let's move to the world of crypto. So I'm going to explain this story in as condensed a fashion as I can. FTX was a big crypto exchange, a trading platform. One of the biggest. You had Coinbase, you have something called Binance, and you had FTX. Billions of dollars of transfers and transactions. It suddenly collapsed. They are in bankruptcy. They filed what's called a free fall bankruptcy, where they had no papers ready. They just had to run to bankruptcy court. Really dramatic.
It was like $11
billion. $11 billion vanished. And a lot of people who didn't invest in crypto and were at least skeptical of crypto, like myself, said, yeah, of course, this is going to happen. I mean, these coins are created from the ether. There's no backing to them.
Uh-huh.
They're based on belief. That's what the coins are based on. And when belief is gone, they are worth zero. That's
so you are a big believer in this. I am more skeptical about it.
Absolutely.
This is why I'm a skeptic. I'm like, it's based on nothing.
Yeah. Well,
it can fall apart at any moment.
That's right. And this fell apart dramatically. Yes. And there's a guy, Sam Bankman-Fried, who is at the center of it. He started FTX, and it may be this massive Ponzi scheme fraud where he was propping up another venture and so forth. He's now the subject of a lawsuit. He will be a subject of a lot of lawsuits over this. He's kind of a Bernie Madoff-like figure now in people's
minds.
You
don't cost people $11 billion and just walk away.
That's right. So now, though, there's some collateral damage with some celebrities, because a lot of celebrities got behind FTX. FTX was a massive entity, so it had Tom Brady, Giselle, Steph Curry, Shaquille O'Neal, Shohei Ohtani. Larry David.
But I think this is such a dumb lawsuit.
Okay, so we'll get to so the lawsuit has been filed by, it's a class action filed by an aggrieved investor in FTX and saying, hey, all you guys promoted this thing, Steph Curry, Tom Brady, also suing Sam Fried, who's obviously at the target, but let's stick with the promoters, the celebrities, and saying, you like lulled me into investing in something that has now turned into this massive fraud. You know what? I'm coming after your deep pocket as well. You remember, Sam Fried now is worth basically nothing. He was a massive billionaire, but all his coins are worthless.
They
want some deep pockets.
I don't understand how you can sue the celebrity spokesperson because the company failed.
Yes.
Did Tom or Giselle or Steph, and maybe they did, and I don't know, did they own the company? Did they have ownership in it?
The devil's going to be in the details. I think a lot of the deals that he cuts with these celebrities gives them some cash up front and some back-end equity in the FTX venture.
Because they want to
benefit
ownership
from the upside. Well, they have maybe some options to be involved in it. So they could also be victims. Like, the funny thing about these lawsuits is if they're shareholders as well in FTX, they could also maybe join the class action as in their capacity as shareholder and stay as defendants in their capacity as promoters. it will come down to what were their words. You know, were they actively lying? Were they aware that this was a massive Ponzi scheme and they were lying to the public to gather
money? They were reading scripts.
I think that's a far-fetched sort of case to make, that Tom Brady was like, oh, cool, a fraud. I'd love to take part in it. I don't think he was aware that FTX was operating in a way that seems at least fraudulent. We'll have to see how the details of that play out. I think they just signed up for cash. I think they wanted to promote and do a commercial, just like Matt Damon did a commercial for crypto.com or whatever.
They're a celebrity spokesperson. They are not the company.
That's right.
They got paid to be in a commercial.
Now, they will tease apart all their words. They'll look at Larry David's commercial, which everyone has been sending around, because the conceit of the commercial was that he was skeptical of crypto, but he was saying, hey, he was like an old guy who was like, oh, the light bulb will never make it. All these cool inventions that became huge. And he was like, crypto will never make it. And that was the joke of the commercial.
Larry David's skeptical of everything. That's his shtick.
Behind the scenes, what sort of deals and what they knew will become sort of part of the litigation. And I think these big stars don't want protracted litigation. I think there's maybe some small settlement value of make this go away.
Well, especially Tom and Giselle don't want to wind up in court together. They got their own things going on. They don't oh, God, we don't want to be part of this.
They got plenty on their plate. So I think you may see some quick settlements or some quick motions to dismiss these things and they'll go away. But it made a big splash and you'll see. I don't think the crypto winter is over and more of these things will collapse and you may see more celebrity lawsuits. So,
and fewer celebrities are going to put their face on these from now on.
Yes and no. You know, look, there's always going to be schemes where there's going to be cash grabs. I mean, that end up fraudulent. I mean, celebrities have endorsed things for years and some of them fall apart and they don't always know. They're just looking to make some commercials. So we'll see. But I don't think you'll see the end of celebrity endorsements.
Crypto.
I think probably for crypto, it'll cool off for a little
while. I think
so. All right. That'll do it for us. We'll see you next time.